Okay, here we are. Welcome to the weekend. Stay dry for the next hour. It is the Friday Scrum edition of Habs Lunch on TSN 690, and for me, that's difficult to do on a Friday. Along with the host of the Montreal Forum, it's Tony Marinaro.
Hello, Mitch.
Knuckles Nyland.
Mitchie
from
boy.
Off the Cuff, the co-host of Off the Cuff, and basically the Montreal Forum. The Seanster, Sean Campbell. I'm sorry for tweeting out that Sean will be a part of this, so obviously it's going to take a big dip without him. Rod Francis is here.
It will not take a Simon Salikas dip. We know that.
And Mitch Gallo will be making his cameo appearance shortly. We do have Jay Farrar, who made that long, slow walk across the hall to rejoin us. Good to see you.
Back to my roots, Mitch. Back to my roots.
Everything good?
Yeah. You
know, yeah. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
For this side of the building, Jay's got a full-time gig now.
Thanks.
Isn't that well earned, right?
Yeah. Everybody's happy for it.
Very well deserved.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Enough of that.
Now Radulov at the near dot, waiting down low. Plekanec up for Markov. Weber winds and fires and scores! There it is! Weber's first as a Hab, and it's 3-0 Montreal! And now stuffed in by Reeder, and he's blasted by Weber.
Again it's Reeder.
Et la première étoile, the first star, Shea Weber!
It's unbelievable. I can't even describe the feeling. It's pretty special, and happy to be a part of this team, this organization, and hopefully we can continue to do good things here.
So, how does he look 4 games into the season?
Brutal, according to the analytic world.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Brutal.
No. Hold. No. Not even they believe he looks brutal, do they?
The analytics world said last night that from an analytics standpoint...
Who's the analytics
He had a poor game.
What?
Andrew Berkshire tweeted last night that from an analytics standpoint, he had a poor game.
Outshot with him on the ice 5-on-5, according to his numbers.
You know what? You can just see the difference in the team. There's a feeling. I talked to a player last night in the press box, and he couldn't say enough good things about him and his leadership and how he is. And God, he showed it on the ice last night. The hits, that shot was just, I mean, that puck just took off like a rocket. Like,
well, we've seen it already, even last night. Last night was the first time we saw it go in the net.
Yeah.
Look, Mitch, I mentioned this morning. Larry Robinson had an 85-point season, an 82-point season, and a 75-point season, and he can carry the puck end to end. He's obviously not Larry Robinson. That's exactly what I'm getting at, okay? He doesn't have the ability to carry the puck like Larry Robinson did or put up those offensive numbers like Larry Robinson. But not since Larry Robinson have I seen a defenseman who is as big, as strong, as intimidating, as much a leader, as much a force on the ice, as much a general on defense. Not since Larry Robinson have I... So I know he's not Larry Robinson. Larry Robinson put up great numbers and, you know, Hockey Hall of Famer. But this is... he is extremely intimidating. He is powerful. He is a fantastic team guy. You can see it. He looks it. You can smell it. It's obvious to everyone.
You can smell it.
Yeah, I can. You know what?
What the hell is going on?
Body odor all the way up in the press box.
My goodness, we had...
put some deodorant on again.
We had John Gibbons suggest to Jeremy Filosa that he ought to put some deodorant on in the press box at the Rogers Center because Jeremy was complaining about how hot it was up there with the roof on.
How dominant Zdeno Chara was, especially in 2011 when they won the Stanley Cup. That's Shea Weber right now.
We can form an opinion based on what we see on the ice and what we see and hear in interviews and clips, but you also kind of get a sense, this guy, Chris, he seems like he's also vocal behind the scenes, just based on what you hear from comments and other players.
Well, not even behind the scenes, and I'll let Chris jump in. You can see him on the ice communicating with everybody on the bench.
Sure, Mitch, but I can even imagine what he's doing at the intermissions, before the game, without knowing for a fact.
That stuff doesn't mean anything. You can't measure it.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah, he's one of those guys that everybody looks to, right? They look to him. Leading the way with the hit last night on that poor little guy, Reeder, or whatever his name is. Ryder. Yeah.
Kirk. And, call him Kirk.
And then he got him again. I'm interested to see what him and Yemelin do Saturday night in Boston and see the difference in the respect factor of the Bruins, because the Bruins used to always want to take advantage of this hockey team physically. And
well, they've got
that's going to be a
Matt
test.
Beleski and David Backes in particular.
Yeah.
You know Marchand, what he does, but man, is he Marchand's picked up his actual level of play right where he left it off at the World Cup. But those two guys in particular, every defenseman on the Canadiens got a bullseye, including Shea Weber.
Yeah,
For those guys in particular,
and
that'll
yet,
be interesting.
With a couple of exceptions, the beatdown in Boston, the Canadiens handled it well, Chris, by turning the other cheek, right? At least on the scoreboard.
They've dominated the Bruins.
Of course.
Come on, for years. They have.
Yeah, yeah.
And there were times prior to these last 2 years, the Canadiens had a very good power play. So when Boston used to fool around, I mean, Sheldon Surrey used to score.
But
or Alex Kovalev.
This whole analytics thing with Shea Weber, I mean, this is, it borders on sheer stupidity, really. There is a lot to be said. These are people who live in a Corsi world, and that's all it is.
It's a cult.
And it's, well, I don't know if it's a cult.
It's a community.
It's a big cult.
It's becoming a cult.
But the problem is there is no doubt that you could, for the most part, predict how a team is going to do based on Corsi. But when you narrow it down and remove everything else but a single individual and measure them solely on that, that's when you've lost me. I mean, that's when you clearly don't watch. And even it gets to the point, I think, where some of these people, even though it doesn't match what they're seeing, they will lean on the numbers after a game and go, well, he's not any good. It doesn't matter what I saw. I mean, that's nuts.
I like analytics. I like to use it as a reference point. I don't get carried away with it. But the one thing that analytics, when Shea Weber hit Reeder and right away set the tone for the entire hockey game, there's nothing that analytics can show you of the importance of that hit at that time in that hockey game. Because one of the things we all thought about yesterday, let's be honest, the Canadiens play to their talent and they work, they're going to win this game. But this has the classical letdown game written all over it. You know, they got the Bruins on Saturday night. They just played the home opener against the Pittsburgh
Penguins. I don't think there was any danger.
It may be a letdown.
Not Carey Price coming back.
With Carey Price coming in.
There were lapses in the game, though.
After they took a 4-0
lead. Yeah, exactly. And like a lot of teams do that. They get comfortable. Oh, we don't have to work as hard. We're a little more lackadaisical. And they were. And that's how they end up scoring the two goals.
But you wanted to jump in.
Well, for a community that's supposedly supposed to be based on empirical evidence because they follow math so much, the first thing that you need to believe when it comes to evidence is your eyes, is what you see. And there are certain things that cannot be measured statistically. And Carey Price said it himself in the post game. I like the way he squares guys up. And that's something that you can't count. It's something you can't monitor when it comes to math.
Yeah, you can. I mean, he's just a physical guy like that. When he's on the ice, the other team obviously has their head up, and they know he's there. They know he's coming. They have to be ready. A lot of times that translates into coughing the puck up, not hanging on to it as long as you want. Get rid of it. I'm going to get creamed. You know?
Some hesitation affects decision-making.
That's all it takes. It's a split second. It's all about timing. Yep. And again, you don't measure that. In fact, a lot of members of the analytics community scoff at hits. Like every hit is you're not getting the puck, even though you're hurting the other guy in Weber's case, and you're making him think twice the next time he carries.
Psychology.
The puck. Yes, absolutely. It's an intimidation.
Yep.
Not the intimidation of the Canadiens going into the Spectrum prior to Chris Nyland, prior to Larry Robinson, and being beaten up by the Broad Street Bullies and not wanting to be there and delivering snow all the time every time they approach the puck. It's a different intimidation.
And Shea Weber will never look great in terms of analytics. But like Mark Bergevin said, when you get Mike Babcock and you get Joel Quenneville and you get Claude Julien and Barry Trotz and you get Hockey Canada together, the number one name they write down on that piece of paper for the shutdown defenseman for Hockey Canada is Shea Weber because of just all the intangibles. I mean, you see
it's great. It's good to see him show the type of player he is, and I think everybody's really appreciating him now. He's a big body. I've been saying it all along. Big shot, big character.
All right. So Carey Price is back. It's 4 games. Last year it was 9 games. Then it was 18-3. And it looked like they
19-4.
18-3. 18-3. 19-4.
Yes.
And then 20. Correct. What was the before it started heading south?
like night after night. It was like 22 and 5 or something.
Yeah, into December.
Yeah, yeah, it was. I mean, Chris, you said yourself many times, I can't believe the team that I'm seeing.
Yeah,
a year ago, right?
They were skating, moving the puck. I couldn't believe it. Honestly, since I've been back here, I hadn't seen a team perform as well as they did in that first part of the season. It was incredible.
So now they're unbeaten in 60 minutes to start the season, 4 games into the season.
And they haven't.
And they have beaten the Stanley Cup champs. You know, you want to talk about wins over three non-playoff teams, but they have beaten the Stanley Cup champs. They didn't have Crosby. The Canes didn't have Carey Price.
They played their fourth game in 6 nights.
Now, Boston, tomorrow.
Another test.
What specifically do you want to see tomorrow? Doesn't have to be a win. What do you want to see?
I just want to see this team show up and play in that building like they did here. I want to see Radulov be a beast again in the Boston Garden. I want to see him hanging on to the puck, controlling the puck in the corners, protecting it. I want to see other guys doing the same thing. People feed off of that. When you can start a cycle like he did last night on different shifts, and you get that cycle going, and you break that other team down, and you got to do that in Boston because, again, they're weak on defense. They have some issues there. Yeah, that's what I want to see. I want to see consistency with this team moving forward.
And it looks like Tuukka Rask might not play, which actually might be good for Boston. Against the Habs, right?
For sure.
Tony, that's your cue, Tony. Yeah, that's your cue. Come on.
Yeah, we took a game 7 back in 2013.
No, but come on. What's your phrase?
Tuukka something.
We took a game 7. That's my phrase.
Oh, you were too fast for me there.
Yeah. We took a game 7, Mitch.
Well, he's a big man. And he's really good at squaring guys up. I'm sure you're going to see that all season long.
All right. Yeah.
And we're going to take it again tomorrow night.
That's the night you fainted, right?
Yeah, after Daniel
Bergeron scored. You're so overcome with emotion.
I was so worried that after everything I said on Boston radio, that the Canadians would lose that game and I would get...
It was too much for him. Yeah, it was just too much.
Yeah.
Is that on video?
I wish.
It wasn't, but I got to tell you, all I remember was like just... looking up, like, where am I? What am I doing? Why am I on the floor here?
Too bad big Zdeno Chara wasn't glaring down at you when you woke up. The Friday Scrum edition of Habs Lunch continues on your home of the Habs, TSN 690. Welcome back. Welcome back to the wet weekend. A reminder, Montreal's own The Damn Truth at the Corona Theater, headlining their own show on Friday, the 18th of November. It's Melnick, Marinaro, Knuckles, Francis, Farrar in for Campbell, and soon to be joined by Mitch Gallo.
La troisième étoile, the third star, Alexander Radulov.
Even without a goal or an assist, last night Alexander Radulov once again made his presence felt. And just to pick up on some of the analytics talk in the previous segment, the same people would have you believe that Alex Semin was playing really well when the Canadians got rid of him based solely on Corsi. Anybody who was actually watching and paying attention to games could see that he couldn't keep up. And he was not in the best of shape.
And no emotion. No passion.
And some people with the knee-jerk reaction when they go out and sign Radulov to a similar one-year deal, are going, oh, no, here we go again. I think it's taken just 4 games, maybe even less, for people to understand he's no Alex Semin.
Well, it took the exhibition season because with the applause he got open at night, and then first 2 games on the road, I couldn't believe it. People just are going to love this kid. I love the way he plays. I don't think there's a guy on that team that in the offensive zone can protect the puck as good as him. For a talented guy, a guy with raw talent, pure talent, he is so good on the boards, in the corners, on the cycle. He finds the openings. He makes the plays. Sometimes they don't go through, but he makes good hockey plays.
And maybe you guys noticed this more at the rink as opposed to on television. He seems to be active on the bench, asking questions, talking to his teammates, fully engaged aside from the great skill set that we do see on the ice.
Did you see when Lehkonen scored yesterday? Like, the happiest guy in the building was Radulov. And so he's bought in. I mean, there was a concern, right, when they signed them. And the Canadians told us, it was just, it was a lack of maturity at the time. You don't have to question this guy's competitiveness, his work ethic. And so I think we're seeing that. I mean, four games doesn't make a season. But if you take a look at how hard he works, not only with the puck, but without the puck, and how happy he is for his teammates throughout all of this.
There's a couple of things, and again, there's nothing to dislike early. But there are a couple of things to watch for. One is, I don't know what the length of his shift was last night. He has a tendency to, he's in great shape. So, I mean, you know, after 58 seconds being on the ice, he may get a second win. Some guys are like that, but that's too long. And yet you have it in front of you?
His average shift was 44 seconds.
Well, that's perfect.
And he had 24 shifts.
Okay, so because early on, and that's, you know, he has a tendency for staying out on the ice, and he has a tendency to take bad penalties. And he took one last night holding the stick 200 feet from his own net. So that's just a couple of things to watch for. But he is again, I asked the question, and I you know, nobody's been able to throw a name out there since, you know, you threw Larry Robinson off the top, Tony, in terms of a forward for the Montreal Canadiens.
Kovalev.
I loved Kovalev, but he doesn't have any of the grit that Radulov has.
No, not the grit, but the protecting of the puck, the vision, the stick handling, the shooting, I see Kovalev. The grit, no. This guy shows up all the time. Kovalev would show up one in every four. When he did, he looked like the best player in the world. In the other three games, he looked like you didn't even want him on your team.
Yeah, that's an overstatement, but yes, it's a. Yeah. I mean, that's the rep.
Some of his finest work because, I mean, there were teams actually offering 2 years. I know for a fact. A, there were many teams after him, and B, there were teams offering 2 years. And I think that the sales job Bergevin performed there was huge, and let's face it, probably helped by the fact that Radulov loved his experience in junior in the province of Quebec, and there is some of that. But at the end of the day, this is a guy anyone could have had, and in a cap system, free players at the right price are a gold mine, and this may turn out to be the case.
Pierre LeBrun with us yesterday on Melnick in the afternoon on Mark Bergevin, basically, you know, out hustling a lot of fellow general managers and being able to land Radulov on a 1-year deal.
Yeah, and it's been brought up, but I don't remember the Canadians talking about how they investigated Alex Semin. They learned their lesson, and they investigated the background with Radulov.
Two people called Radulov. You know who they are? Andre Markov and Shea Weber. They picked up the phone, they called Alex Radulov, and they said, yeah, this is Montreal. This is the place to be. And then Mark Bergevin went, and he met with Radulov in New York. But, you know, there were two phone calls. So the Canadians, they wanted him. They targeted him. They went after him, and they got him. And so we know it's not an easy city, Knuckles, to sign unrestricted free agents.
No, it isn't.
And
again, you know, look what he did with Brandon Prust when he wanted to sign him, right? He went to his house, got brought
in. They all went.
Yeah. So Bergie's gone out of the way. He's charismatic guy. You know, I'm sure that had a lot to do with it.
But he also, I'm sure, had his game face on.
Yeah.
As charismatic and as kind of humorous he can be.
Yeah. Again, he's here. He got the job done. That's a good signing.
So when you look...
There was a hiccup with Briere and Parenteau and Semin.
Cassian.
And he didn't want to strike out this time.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me if he's the best forward on the ice in Boston tomorrow. His first game as a member
of
the Canes in
game.
Boston.
Like
you could say the original, but the whole history and the original six, the Leafs, it's not the same thing. The Rangers, it's not Montreal-Boston. Chicago is great, but it's not Montreal-Boston. This is his introduction to Montreal-Boston tomorrow. I expect him to be the best player.
Was there a better free agent signing? It's young, I know.
Based on the first 2 weeks of the season? No.
No.
We are coming back with much more. Mitch Gallo will be dropping in on the Friday Scrum edition of Habs Lunch on your home of the Habs. It's TSN 690. Welcome back. It is the Friday Scrum edition of Habs Lunch on your home of the Habs, TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Tony Marinaro, Knuckles Nyland, Rod Francis, Jay Farrar in for the Shots to Sean Campbell. And every Friday at this time, we welcome into the scrum Mitch Gallo.
Hey, guys. You guys talk about how awesome Shea Weber is yet? Or
no. No.
You haven't spoken about that yet? Well, let's get to it.
No. Actually, what I want to do is flashback 7 days when apparently there was a fireable offense committed in the studio.
Can I make it very simple? The Canadians won, and Pacioretty's on pace for 82 points.
Thank you.
Right? He's on pace for 82 points after game one. And they won.
Did you just say that? Like, the Canadians won, and Pacioretty's on pace for 82 points?
Yeah,
he
did.
What is wrong about what I said? It's completely factual.
So
no different than what you're saying.
The fact that he picked up a point in the game, that for you means that he had a good game last night.
It means he did his job.
All right, hold on.
So if the puck last night would have hit his eyebrow or his mustache and then would have redirected somebody and he would have got a point, you're telling me he had a good game.
When I look at the point totals at the end of the year, I don't remember how any of them went in.
Is he serious? Is this a fireable offense, what he just said?
Well, clearly, Tony doesn't have enough clout yet at this radio station.
HR with that?
And wait, apparently, visiting Habs lunch with Tony and Sean and Knuckles here, he wanted to fire you again?
But you're talking about a guy who couldn't play because he fell down the stairs.
Yeah, I don't like him questioning the character. Like, Jose.
Yeah, but he broke his ankle, I think.
I don't like that.
It's a pretty significant injury. It's not because he fell down the stairs. I mean, he hit his ankle or leg was in a cast.
Okay. He still slipped and fell. Kind of funny.
Well, you're going to hold that against him?
I think it's funny that someone who spends their life on ice skating, they slip on ice and fall down and injure themselves. I find that funny.
Well, I didn't have his skates on.
Well, come on.
Are you serious now?
Yes, I'm being serious.
Are you serious?
If he's going to... So, if he's going to...
Is that a fireable offense, Tony?
Hold on.
Is that another fireable offense?
You just got fired for the second time in a week. Listen to this, okay?
If he's going to question Carey Price in that way, I'll question his integrity.
Okay, hold on a second.
Maybe he should have gone out there and played with his broken leg that was in a cast.
Okay,
hold on. If he wants Carey Price to play after losing 8 pounds with the flu.
How do you put on your equipment if you're in a cast?
I don't know. Play with the broken leg with no cast. It's a stupid comment he made. So I'll make a stupid comment about him.
Okay. That's... I don't know.
By the way, Bobby Bond, back in the day, scored a Stanley Cup winner on a broken ankle that wasn't in a cast. Yeah, so that was... So Tony, you're not going to fire him over this, are you?
Well, I'll tell you this. I mean, the fact that he still is here and he hasn't been fired leads me to believe that Mitch Gallo will never be fired from TSN.
Wow. What?
If you can do that, you can do anything.
First of all, why were you questioning Carey Price? You. Weren't you questioning that Carey Price was really sick?
No, the one thing that I said was, if he did have an injury... I didn't think the Canadians were going to come out and say he had a lower body injury. My opinion is that they would have said that he had the flu. Now, did I think he had a major injury? No. I didn't think he had a major injury. I just, you know, after checking with my doc, who said he's got fever and he's on antibiotics, okay, his flu has obviously developed into a pneumonia here. It's pretty serious from that respect. That was it. It's just it wasn't a minor cold, or even though he said he had a cold and he was quarantined and stuff like that, or whatever.
So
he had a fever. Was at the antibiotics.
Do you think three games into a season that he should be playing?
No,
because he's got the flu. I mean, what's going on in this town?
No, I know that Jose Theodore wrote an article about it saying that Patrick Waugh and Marty Brodeur would have definitely come back and played if they had the flu.
Now, Knuckles, I know you're all part of the same alumni, but I mean, this is, you know, then we'll move on. We'll move on.
That's because everyone believes that Patrick came back to play after appendicitis, which he really did not.
Yeah, that was a playoff game.
Well, he didn't.
That was a playoff game.
He didn't really have appendicitis either.
Well, I mean, whatever it was in the playoffs. It wasn't the first week and a half of the season.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Hey, Jose, I'm going to try to do you a favor here, Jose Theodore. Learn something. Don't follow the lead of your partner over there, Michel Bergeron. Don't do that. If you want to become the next Michel Bergeron, that is not going to endear you in this community. That's all. Next. It's your cue.
That's my cue? Yeah. I mean, I think I said what I had to say about the Jose thing.
You were harsh with him.
In that soundbite.
You could end up saying whatever you want. You're not going to get fired from this place.
Well, I was right, though, right? Carey Price looked pretty okay.
Carey Price looked like Carey Price last night.
Yeah, he looked like Carey Price.
He was calm. He was, man, every time they had a close-up of him, he was smiling behind his mask. He was
Carey Price
himself.
Is the best goalie in the world. He's not going to have the flu come back and not be the best. He's the best goalie in the world. It's not because he's going to be sick for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks that when he's going to come back, he's going to be an average goalie. He's the best.
How did he look, Tony?
I thought he looked very good. I thought the two goals that went in,
he
didn't really have a chance on, let's be honest. I mean, one of them was rebound. It was a goalmouth scramble. Sergachev ended up putting the puck back on Chychrun's stick, very unfortunately. He was down and out. And the other one was Nathan Bolia coughs up the puck. There's a shot. The rebound comes out. The guy you know, jams it home from two feet away.
But how about this? Stefan Waite joins Melnick in the afternoon right after the World Cup before all this flu stuff, and he says that there are lots of areas that Carey Price can still improve on. He's not there yet.
Yeah, well, I didn't think he was going to say he was perfect either, right?
Of course not.
They're always going to say there's room for improvement.
But for him to say
Stefan
that,
Waite
imagine where he's going to be at the end of the season.
Health-wise, he was 100%.
Yeah,
is what he said.
If Stefan Waite says Carey Price is perfect, there's absolutely nothing to work on right now, they're going to send Stefan Waite home.
And going back,
going back to Weber,
I was thinking about this. If you were to pull the 29 other GMs around the league and tell them that you're starting on your back end with Shea Weber and Carey Price as your 1-2 in goal and on the blue line, how many of them do you think would take that over whatever other situation they have on their team?
Well, David Poile would take Carey Price and PK Subban, but right?
Right now, if you're to ask him,
David Poile would take Carey Price and PK Subban.
With the low five, the high five,
the deal, right?
But
he made his decision.
Right, that's it.
Well, no, but Carey Price had nothing to do with that decision.
What are you talking about? You're going to be fired for the third time here. Where is he going with this?
I was asking about Weber and Price. What the heck does that have to do with Subban? What does it have to do with Subban?
What was the question you asked?
Which GM wouldn't take Weber and Price as their 1-2? Subban and Price. That wasn't an option.
No, but he...
But you didn't tell me it wasn't an option. So why are you raising your voice?
Because it boggles my mind how this went to Subban.
Because
David Poile is one of the GMs in the National Hockey League, and we know how he feels. He made his decision.
Yes, he made his decision when he weighed out Weber versus Subban. Not Weber and Price versus Subban.
Yeah, but it's still... It doesn't want, if he had the choice, obviously he'd pick Carey
Price. I'll put it this way. Last year, if Poile had Price and Subban, or Price and Weber, he would not have made the trade for just the other guy, right? Because I'm saying the two guys together, Weber and Price. So he would not have made a trade last year of Weber if he had Weber and Price?
Well, we don't know that.
Wow.
We honestly don't know that. If Shea Weber doesn't look good down the stretch because he plays half the game and he plays a very hard physical game and he got worn out down the stretch, which was obvious for anybody to see, would that have been different with Carey Price?
David Poile traded Shea Weber because he wanted to change the look of his defense. He wanted a player who had more foot speed, who had more skating.
He wanted to change the look of his team, Tony.
He wanted to change the look of his team. You're absolutely right.
This is a team that has been incredibly well structured and it's gotten them nowhere.
So to answer your question, although we'll never know, my guess is if David Poile had Carey Price last year in Nashville with Shea Weber, he would have still traded Shea Weber for PK Subban. He wanted to change the look of his team on the back end. He wanted to get someone who was younger. He wanted to get someone who was faster. He wanted to get someone who was quicker, probably more entertaining, someone who had his best years ahead of him. There's a thought process out there. There's a thought that Shea Weber, his best years are behind
him.
There's that thought.
My point is I believe that...
You calm down?
Yes, I've calmed down. My belief is that Shea Weber will make Carey Price a better goaltender this year.
Well, that's hard to do.
It's not hard to do when the other top defenseman turns over the puck more, and he's not as good at clearing loose pucks when there's scrambles in front of Carey Price. Shea Weber will make Carey Price life much easier than PK Subban did.
And if Shea Weber is more compatible with the way the coach and the manager wants to run things...
Let's stop with the compatible and the general manager. Well, he's a more reliable defenseman, and it doesn't matter who the general manager is, and it doesn't matter who the coach is. It's not because Bergevin and Therrien see it one way that Shea Weber is more reliable than PK Subban in his own zone. He is.
But he's
the
also
whole hockey world knows this.
He also fits in with this coach better.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, with this coach, certainly.
But there's also this belief, since you guys raised it, and we've all watched the last several years since PK Subban came into the National Hockey League. And because there's so much focus on him turning the puck over, specifically in back-to-back-to-back games, as if that's the only thing that he did last year and in his career as a Canadiens, PK Subban became a very effective shutdown defenseman. How many times did we see head-to-head PK Subban take on Crosby, take on Ovechkin?
Yeah,
he did. He loved those challenges. He usually came through. He was part of the penalty kill. Different player completely. Took too many penalties. And so that's an area of his game. Shea Weber only had 27 minutes in penalties a year ago playing the way he does.
Shea Weber
PK Subban took too many penalties.
He also has the respect of the officials. I think that has a lot to do with it, too, the penalties. Not to say that he's going to take a penalty and they won't give it to him, but, I mean, there were penalties that sometimes P.K. Subban was given that we even said to ourselves, it's not a penalty. But he was given a penalty anyway.
Yeah, for sure, because of his past, right? They don't forget that. My friends, the Zebras.
But, you know, Mitch, everything you're saying, when there was a challenge that presented itself for P.K. Subban, it was, you know what, you're going to shut down Crosby tonight, and you're shutting down Ovechkin. We saw the best of P.K. Subban in some of those situations.
But he also
The course of an 82-game season, we saw a lot of hiccups as well.
I don't know about a lot. I really don't. I think you're selective memory when it comes to PK. Very, very selective memory. And he also was carrying around an aging slow defenseman as his partner most of the time. But
That's true.
Let's try to move on.
Yeah, it's nice to get back into the routine and get to feel on regular season again.
All right, so you could look either really stupid again. I'm not looking at anybody in particular. Or you could look like a genius with this start compared to a year ago. What does this tell you about this team? Four games, if anything. Do you want to go on the limb and say this team is blank?
They're for real? They're for real 4 games in? I'm not going that far, but there's a whole new look and a whole new feel here to me. With the new blood that's here, there's a lot of positives with this team.
I like what Andrew Shaw brings compared to Lars Eller.
Character. There's a lot of character there. In that room.
This is the closest they've been to really making that big, big push. I think they're a second-line centerman away.
I love the balanced offense that we've seen, similar to last year. They've reinforced that they're a top team in the conference through 4 games.
Yeah, and if you look at the possible playoff matchups, what's the road? What's the road in terms of who they're going to have to face and beat, and are they going to be able to do that? Because you know in the first round, it's going to be likely a favorable matchup, because the Canadians should be 2 or 3. So that leaves them with Florida or Ottawa or Boston. You get past that round, next up, you have to face Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, to me right now, is a better team than the Canadians. Maybe at the end of the season, that'll be different. Maybe Carey Price can steal that series. Round 3, you're going up against either Washington or Pittsburgh in all likeliness. And that's also a very difficult matchup. So again, I think we're not that much further than we were a couple years ago when Tampa Bay, Washington, and Pittsburgh are still gigantic hurdles for this team.
Until and unless they get a talented, bigger body down the middle. Would you not agree
they
with
could
that?
Certainly use one, but again, I'm going to wait before I make that determination, because I want to see him play against these teams. I want to see him play against Tampa. I want to see him play against Washington.
Yeah, but regular season is one thing. Playoffs, yeah, so you know
no,
that.
No, I get it, but still, who's to say they don't kick it up a notch?
All right, Jay
Farrar's
going
to
blow everybody away here. What's the date? October 21st. October the 21st, Jay Farrar's season point total projection for the Montreal Canadiens.
Point total? 98.
Womp, womp, womp.
Come on! What?
That's not a great season.
We're coming back to finish up the Friday Scrum edition of Habs One.
Am I going fired?
Yeah. No.
I think Francona's experience with the Red Sox allowed him to realize what he could do with those built-in off days. And you notice that the only game that John Gibbons seemed to match Francona move for move is the game where he took the early lead, where the Jays took the early lead. And it in the postseason, much easier to manage from the lead than from behind.
Our old friend Rich Griffin of the Toronto Star, who's been with us down the stretch of the baseball season following the elimination of the Toronto Blue Jays. It was a no contest in the dugout between Terry Francona and John Gibbons. So Terry Francona will try to win a World Series for Cleveland. Their first since 1948, kind of like the drought he ended in Boston, which went all the way back to 1918. Our remaining moments on the Friday Scrum edition of Habs Lunch to the Impact and the NFL in a second. But Mitch Gallo, Clayton Kershaw, tomorrow night for the Dodgers with their season on the line. Oh, and the guy he's facing is almost as good.
Yeah, Kyle Hendricks. I have a full faith in Clayton Kershaw, though, in this game. I think he's put in those postseason demons in the past. I think his last start, he was tremendous. I think he was fantastic when he came out of the bullpen in the last series. So I think now he's figured out that playoffs are a little bit of a different game. He's figured that out. And a game seven between these two teams, that game seven comes down to the managers again. So you're looking at the two sides. You're looking at Madden, you're looking at Roberts, and whoever can manage their bullpens better and maybe pull out a couple surprises out of the bullpen like they both did in the last round, that's going to be the determining factor in the series.
If it is game seven, we will have it for you Sunday night right here on TSN 690. By the way, I don't speak for Jay, but I'll let him speak for himself.
That is correct.
The breakup of the 94 Expos, much more painful than Blue Monday. We celebrated the anniversary of Blue Monday. The breakup of the 94 Expos, to me, no comparison. You weren't even alive in 81, right?
Yeah, I was alive and well, but I have no memory of it. I wasn't making memories at the time, so I don't remember.
The Montreal Impact, the whole Drogba situation resolved, is it? What does it mean moving forward?
He didn't practice yesterday. Back pain, back soreness.
Bad back.
And the last we checked, his going to New England to play this game on the weekend was still in doubt. So, even if they would go, he doesn't usually play on synthetic grass. So,
I don't
think that Didier Drogba will be involved in this one. But Joey Saputo tells us that it's been resolved.
Surprise, surprise.
And
bad back.
It's a good thing it is resolved, because if the Impact are going to make a run for the MLS Cup the way Joey Saputo believes that they can,
bad
and
back.
Many others do as well.
Wrong.
They're going to need Drogba at some point.
surprise.
Wrong.
Ouch, my back.
Vagina.
Get up! Oh!
They're going to need him.
Such a shame that Ben Roethlisberger's out, because the marquee matchup of the weekend might still be the Steelers in New England. The key here, how good is Le'Veon Bell? Time of possession, they've got to keep the ball away from Tom Brady. It's going to be up to the Steelers running game.
Come on, you Patriots. Go, Pats, go.
Why won't Tom Brady answer any questions about Donald Trump?
Wrong.
I think he'd be embarrassed if he said, "I really like
this turd."
What?
You can't polish this turd.
You can't polish that turd.
Don't forget the 40th anniversary of The Last Waltz, Friday, November 25th at the Corona Theater. You can get your tickets at the Bell Center box office and at theatcorona.ca. Your guys, the Bills, this is a bad week.
Yeah.
Coming off a big win, a bad week.
Because they've got New England next week, so really counting on a win against Miami in Miami this coming Sunday. Looks like just LeSean McCoy is out. It'll be up to their quarterback, whether he's a franchise guy or not. This is a game that they're going to have to win with their passing game against the Dolphins.
And has LeSeanster been to Regina before?
Nope, this is his first time.
He's with the Alouettes in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, one thing to watch for in this one. Vernon Adams Jr. making his first start. The Alouettes did trade two.
Who's he throwing passes to?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a fireable offense, Gallo! You're the sideline reporter!
Gallo, you're fired!
Watch out for Cody Hoffman and BJ Cunningham if he's going to make any complete passes in the game.
Still here, can I tell you?
I'm still shocked that you said that David Poyle would not take Weber and
stop it.
Price
stop
on his
it.
Team.
We're not stop. Going there again. We'll stop. Stop. Next week. We'll pick it up next week. Have a wonderful weekend. Stay dry. Just old Luke.